Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Wednesday, July the 25th. That is right, training camp is here. Today is the official opening of the Miami Dolphins 2018 training camp, as all veterans must report to camp today. Now, not much is going to happen today, so if you're looking for news from camp, don't. Because the first official Miami Dolphins practice is tomorrow, Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m., I believe. So that's when we'll start getting news and reports and all stuff like that. But today is the first day of training camp for the Miami Dolphins. We got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Noah from the Fins Up, Fans Down podcast, which you can listen to right here at DolphinsTalk.com, and we talk about all things Miami Dolphins as training camp is upon us, and we sort of preview the upcoming year, talk about what to keep an eye on, and some of the topics surrounding the team as we are now in training camp. So later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Noah from the Fins Up, Fans Down podcast. First, though, there's a few bits of news we have to talk about. I guess the big story yesterday, well, there's really two, but let's start with this one. Is that Miami Dolphins undrafted rookie linebacker Mike McCray announced his retirement suddenly late Tuesday. A little bit of a surprise because Mike McCray honestly had a shot to make this team. Mike McCray was signed as a priority undrafted free agent after the draft. He went to Michigan. He got a $10,000 signing bonus, which is a bit more for someone who goes undrafted. And he got a personal phone call from the owner, Stephen Ross, right after the draft. When he was told about this, something that usually doesn't happen. But since Stephen Ross is a Michigan guy and Mike McCray went to Michigan, he got the special phone call from the owner with the good news he was getting a larger than normal signing bonus. But Mike McCray retired. He did issue a statement. It just sounds like he fell out of love with football. I'll read the statement real quick here. Well, I'll read part. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Mike McCray, during this time, I sacrificed my happiness and well-being. I want to encourage those reading this to do what feels good on the inside and not what looks good on the outside. Also, make sure you are doing it for you and your happiness and not for their happiness. So it sounds like Mike McCray fell out of love with football. Like I said, he had a legitimate shot to make this roster because outside of the big four linebackers in Miami right now, which are Kiko Alonso, Raekwon McMillan, Jerome Baker, and Stephon Anthony, pretty much anybody else at that spot has a legitimate shot to make this roster only because guys like Chase Allen and Mike Hall are not, by any stretch of the imagination, guaranteed a roster spot this year. They were not good last year, and those guys are going to have to earn it if they want to make this team. Linebacker, after those top four, you know, it's wide open, really wide open. So someone like McCray, who many people thought he would be drafted, had a legitimate shot to make this team, but like I said, from his statement, it sounds like he just fell out of love with the sport of football, which I get. It's a brutal sport. It's a tough sport. He did have a lot of injuries in college, so we wish Mike McCray all the best on his future endeavors. The Miami Dolphins, to replace him, did sign linebacker Frank Ginda. Frank Ginda spent 6 weeks with the Arizona Cardinals, you know, this spring after the draft, but was let go by them. So Frank Ginda has been added to the roster. You always hate to lose a player on the eve of training camp like this. It sort of gives you flashbacks to when Ricky Williams suddenly retired on the eve of training camp. Mike McCray, not quite on that level, so it's not that big a deal. But it does give you a little bit of flashbacks to that and what Ricky did back in, what, 2004? So that's that. The other big story, and this broke late Tuesday night, sort of, is it's all but official now that the Miami Dolphins are moving their training facility out of Davie, Florida after some 25, 30 years, and they will be moving to Miami Gardens right next to Hard Rock Stadium with a new facility. Tuesday evening, there was a vote by the Miami-Dade County Commission because the Miami Dolphins pretty much told them, we want to move there, we want to be there, but we want some breaks from the city and county, we want some subsidies, and it had to go to a vote. So the Miami-Dade County Commission went to a vote Tuesday night. Sounds like they rushed this through, and it passed, and the Miami Gardens are going to provide the team a subsidy of $750,000 per year to build a new training facility next to Hard Rock Stadium. And Miami Gardens is going to provide an additional $500,000 once it's built. So the Miami Dolphins and owner Stephen Ross are going to invest somewhere in the neighborhood between $50 and $75 million of his own money to build a state-of-the-art, top-shelf, top-of-the-line training facility west of Hard Rock Stadium, right on the same property. And they're going to get some subsidies for it from Miami-Dade County and Miami Gardens. I'm all for it. Now, look, I don't live in either place in Miami Gardens or in Miami-Dade County, so it's not my money. So it's easy to say, yeah, I'm all for it. It's not my money. I wholeheartedly admit that. But look, Stephen Ross put, what, $400, $500 million to renovate Hard Rock Stadium, all of his own money. Now he's going to put up another $50 to $75. And if anybody knows anything with construction, it'll be $75 or more million dollars to build this. As you always go over cost, you never really stay under cost when it comes to new construction. So Stephen Ross is putting a lot of money into South Florida, into the Miami Dolphins, into Hard Rock Stadium. So the fact he's getting a little subsidy here, which I would be against, but in this instance, it doesn't bother me. Just because Stephen Ross has put up so much of his own money, the fact he's going to get from Miami-Dade County a $750,000 per year subsidy, and then another $500,000 subsidy from Miami Gardens, that's fine with me in this instance. Because if anybody has truly earned it, one would have to say it is Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. So there's that. So that's a bit of good news, I think, because I think having the training facility next to the stadium just makes things easier logistically for the team, logistically for the franchise, and even logistically for fans, honestly. Just, it's like a one-stop shop for everything. So I think that's very good news. And from earlier reports, they wanted to be in by 2020. So I expect this to move quick, really quick. So this will probably get put into action with the construction, you know, in the coming months. And I would expect, you know, through 2019, we'll see significant work there to the west end of Hard Rock Stadium where this is being built. Another bit of news is Ryan Tannehill. He posted a video today, and it was on Instagram. For those of you who don't have Instagram, I'm sure you can find it on either Facebook or Twitter. Just run a little search and you'll find it. And I loved the video. I thought it was great. And Ryan Tannehill pretty much said he appreciated all of his teammates who grinded with him in the offseason and put in the work with him in the offseason. And then the video showed him training with his wide receivers, showed Jakeem Grant, Albert Wilson, Devontae Parker, and then Tannehill training all offseason, you know, outside of the team facility on their own time at a high school. It looked like training with them, putting in the work. And the reason this is a little funny because of everything Jarvis Landry said a few weeks back, saying when he was in Miami that Ryan Tannehill never set anything up like that. They never practiced off the field together in the offseason. Ryan wasn't a leader like that, which at the time, as I said, was all bullshit. And there's actually video evidence of that with Landry. And sort of Tannehill on the eve of training camp puts up this video that showed him, you know, all spring, all summer, on his own time, on all the players' own time, working out with his wide receiver. So a little bit of shade thrown by Ryan Tannehill at Jarvis Landry, I think. And look, we're all pumped up to see Ryan Tannehill back in Miami. We are all pumped up. Last year was a bad year for the Dolphins. Wasn't fun. The games weren't fun to watch. The team wasn't that good. It was pretty bad on offense. And a lot of that was because they did not have Ryan Tannehill. So Ryan Tannehill being back is a very good thing. And I think we are all excited to see how he performs in 2018. Two more bits of news, and then we will get to Noah from the Fins Up Fans Down podcast. ESPN their Miami Dolphins beat reporter has changed, as many of you may know or might not know. James Walker, who has covered the Miami Dolphins for many years for ESPN, at the end of last season left his post, and he actually left the journalism industry altogether and pursued something else. So ESPN has now assigned Cameron Wolf, who has been covering the Tennessee Titans the past few years, to the Miami Dolphins beat. So Cameron Wolf will be arriving in South Florida, he said today via tweet, in a week or so. And full-time, he'll be covering the Miami Dolphins football team. So a warm welcome to Cameron Wolf, and we look forward to seeing his work as he is one of the new beat reporters for the Miami Dolphins working for ESPN. Last bit of news, it's a bit of housekeeping. We here at DolphinsTalk.com would like to welcome David Tisdale to the staff. David's going to be doing some video content for us here at DolphinsTalk.com, putting up video work and such like that. Now, I did put up one of his videos last week on the site. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's very good. But starting shortly, we're going to be having a lot more video content on the site from a few different people. But I just wanted to give a warm welcome to the newest DolphinsTalk.com staff member, David Tisdale, and be on the lookout for his new work. So that's all I got for right now. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be joined by Noah from the Fins Up, Fans Down podcast as we break down the Miami Dolphins as we start training camp, talk about, you know, some guys to keep an eye on, who to look for, who we like this upcoming year, and sort of give our thoughts on the 2018 Miami Dolphins as training camp is now underway here in late July. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this quick break.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Noah from the Fins Up, Fans Down podcast. Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Before we start talking about the Miami Dolphins, why don't you tell everyone once again about your podcast? I know a few weeks ago I did have on your other co-host, Mike, yep, to talk about it. Why don't you plug the podcast and tell people what it's about?
All right. So basically, Mike and I are both almost lifelong Dolphins fans who have seen years and years of great moments as well as misery. And so Mike thought up the idea of a podcast where we go back and sort of relive all those moments from past Dolphins seasons. So we go back. Right now we're on a bi-weekly schedule, but with the season upcoming, we'll be switching to a podcast every week. And we go back and watch during the off-season old Dolphins games and basically just give our thoughts live as it goes. And then I'll do a quick, like, breakdown of the game on Twitter with some gifs and some clips of the plays. And then during the season, we'll just be doing weekly game reviews where we go back in the NFL Game Pass, watch the game, give our thoughts. That's about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great podcast, and everyone should check it out. And you can listen to it right here at DolphinsTalk.com. We have it up on our site as it is part of our podcast network right here at DolphinsTalk.com. So let's talk about the Miami Dolphins here and the 2018 season as it is fast approaching. Training camp is near. It is upon us pretty much. What do you think heading into 2018 is the biggest strength of the Miami Dolphins roster?
When I'm looking at not just the improvements we've made, but carrying over from last season, I'm honestly really excited to see how all of the talent we picked up on offense works. I think basically for what we have with Ryan Tannehill, Gase has crafted this roster literally to a perfect T around him. So you bring in a big body tight end in Mike Gesicki, something we haven't had successfully since, I mean, even Charles Clay was pretty small for a tight end. you have to go back to the early days of Anthony Fasano to find a real large red zone target. And then you have Kenyon Drake constantly looking like he's going to be a stud for us at running back. He showed continuous improvement over the last 8 games. And then you bring in Albert Wilson. You bring in a veteran presence in Danny Amendola. You bring in one of the best guards in the league in Josh Sitton. And it's just looking like a team for Tannehill to take offensively.
I agree. I think we have a lot of weapons on offense. Obviously, we lost somebody who was very important to us last year in Landry. But even with him gone, I feel the wide receivers have a lot of depth. And the tight end position has been transformed to a younger group that's maybe more athletic there. Running back, like what we saw at the end of last year with Drake. So overall in offense, I agree. I think it's very promising what it could be in 2018. Hopefully all the pieces gel together and we see an offense that, you know, moves the ball, moves the chains and puts up touchdowns at the end of the day, because that is always the most important thing. On the other side, I guess, what do you think is the biggest weakness still with this roster? Is there a position group that makes you a little nervous? Is there an area that says, I'm not too comfortable with that? What's the biggest weakness you see with this team as we head into 2018?
You know, funnily enough, on the main roster, I don't see any true, like, glaring holes. If anything, it would be depth at linebacker and unprovenness at linebacker, because Raekwon McMillan has been touted as the savior of the defense, and we'll just see how true that actually is this season. But if he holds up like he's been, like, shown to be a great player, if he holds up to that, then honestly, I don't think there are too many holes on the roster. Kicker's going to be an issue potentially with a rookie. You could see a little bit of weakness in special teams now for the Gunners and the kickoff team because we lost Michael Thomas. But we still bring back Walt Akins, Mike Hall. So, I mean, I guess linebackers, but it's a very it's a soft weakness for now. It's mostly depth related.
Yep, I could see that as well. The one area that has me a little concerned, just because it's a mixed bag of youth, mm-hmm. and the one veteran who always has me nervous would be the middle of the defensive line, because anytime mm-hmm. you're really counting on Jordan Phillips to do anything, I'm nervous. Now, the one thing that has me a little bit less nervous is he's in the final year of his contract, so he's playing for money, which might be the one time he's ever been motivated since he's been in the league. So I guess that's one thing to sort of hang your hat on. But that group, there's youth with Devon Godchow, year two. We liked what we saw from him in year one, but it is just year two, so you got to worry there. Vincent Taylor really didn't play a lot last year. We picked up Akeem Spence from the Lions, who, you know, he's an okay player, nothing really special, but he's okay. But really, it does come down to Jordan Phillips, and anytime you're counting on him, I'm nervous. So that's probably the one area I'm the most nervous about. I don't think it'll be bad, but I think if things go the wrong way, it could be a weakness which our opponents could exploit, let's just say. So that one sort of has me a little nervous. But overall, like you said, this roster on paper, at least the starting 22, is a nice group. I mean, it's not the best one in the league by any means, but it's a nice group, and most of the areas have a little bit of depth right now. So I like this roster as well. But, yeah, that would be the one area that sort of has me a little nervous. This offseason, obviously, we added a lot of new faces, and not talking about the draft per se, but what guy did we sign or did we make a trade for? Do you think I guess I should say has you the most excited for this upcoming year? Which offseason guy that we signed or traded for?
I would say it's no competition that it's Minkah Fitzpatrick, but there are a lot of offseason signings and draft picks this year that I'm excited for. So if this was last offseason, it would be Minkah Fitzpatrick bar none. Like, he is going to come in and be, I think by year two of his contract, he's going to be the best player on the defense. He's going to be a team leader. I think he'll be a perennial all-pro player. Excuse me. He's something you don't really find too often, which is the dog mentality, but that comes with already having leadership experience on and off the field and being that guy who can go and play whatever position you want him to. Like, there's not any 6-foot, 220 safeties in the league that'll come down and play middle linebacker for you. and will also go out and play outside corner. Like, you just don't find that. It's insane.
Yeah. I think it'll be really good, too.
Besides him, I'd say Gesicki, I think, will have a huge impact. He'll be a very, very big red zone target for Tannehill. And then more on the free agency side, bringing back William Hayes was really big to me. I'm a huge fan of William Hayes, more so than a lot of people. I love what he brings to the run game. And as a veteran in the locker room, he does a lot. And then besides that, I think this isn't this year, but dipping a little bit into last season, the Stephon Anthony trade, I think, might end up paying out for some dividends for us. I think he'll end up being a good special teamer one way or another. And then he's an absolute raw, like, talent freak.
He's an
athletic freak. He's 6'3", like 230-ish, I think. Runs 4.6 40. He's talented. If Trayvon McMillan can play up to his potential, then I think Stephon Anthony can definitely find a nice little, like, niche next to him.
And he's going to be on the field a lot, and he's going to have a lot of opportunities to play this year just because, because a linebacker, like you said, we don't have a lot of guys that at that spot that are really proven. So I think Stephon Anthony will be on the field a lot. And you mentioned William Hayes, and I think he is going to be very important this year as well, because if what I talked about before about the inside of that line possibly being a weakness, Hayes is someone who can set the edge, and he plays well against the run, which is going to be key. And he can also play inside on passing downs. You can slide him inside to rush the passer on third down. So he's someone who has flexibility on that line. You can play outside and inside, and he's known for stopping the run. So I think Hayes is going to play a crucial role this year on this team. Defensive line, look, I think overall it's a strength because you got guys like Wake and Quinn. I think Charles Harris takes a big jump this year. Branch, Hayes. The fact that some of those guys can slide inside will help that group. But, yes, Hayes, I think, will be very, very crucial in 2018. Look, anytime we talk about the Miami Dolphins, you have to talk about the quarterback position. Ryan Tannehill, he's back. Hopefully he's 100% healthy and the knee's not an issue. I don't think we'll know that right away, but I don't think – it's a type of injury. We've now seen a lot of guys come – back from after 1 year. So my concern's less about the knee injury right now. It's more about him and where he's at. What do you expect from him this year? Do you think he can pick up where he left off in 2016? Or do you think it's going to take a while to maybe get back to where he was before the injury?
Well, I will preface this by saying I am one of the biggest Tannehill fans, Tannehill lovers, whatever you want to call it. I will openly be biased when it comes to talking quarterbacks for our Dolphins. But Ryan Tannehill, to me, is a guy who's going to come in and you know what you're getting. You're getting a smart quarterback. Occasionally he'll make a stupid mistake, but overall he's still a very smart player. He has his inconsistencies, which is his biggest fault to me, but he's accurate. He's not that strong of a vocal leader, or has not been that strong of a vocal leader in the past, but we're starting to see that change. The team is really branding themselves around him this offseason. And I'm expecting Tannehill to be the true leader that, like, the doubters want him to be. So basically just the true leader that I already think he is. But more of the fans will begin to see that this season, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm expecting somewhere around 4,200 yards, assuming he plays the full season, which I think he will. 4,200 yards, maybe 30 touchdowns or so, 10 interceptions. 65-66% completion. I think it'll be the best season of his career, no question. He'll be in the running for comeback player of the year, but I think there's too many names for him to win it.
Yeah, I would sign up for that right now. If he threw for 30 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions and over 4,000 yards, I would sign up for that right now in a heartbeat and be very happy. I'm with you. The thing with him is when he got hurt, right when he got hurt in 2016, he was the guy we all wanted him to be. He was on fire. He was playing the best ball of his life. We're like, the payoff's here. We've waited all these years, and now he's the guy. This is the guy we need. He's our quarterback. He's the guy who can take us to the playoffs. This is it. And the injury just was a wet blanket on everything. And then he tries to come back last year, doesn't make it through 1 or 2 days of training camp and are like, oh man, this is terrible. But he has shown he can be that guy. If he just plays the way he was on that, you know, 7, 8, 9 game stretch before he got hurt, that's all we need him to be. He's been in the league since 2012. We're now in 2018. My thought is, you know, at some point, you have to accept he is who he is. If you think he's going to be a top 5 or 6 guy in this league, it's just not going to happen. He's not that guy.
Nope.
So to think he's going to change now, I mean, to be in the league since 2012, now you're 28, that's a long time. And someone sort of is who there is at that point. So if you still have hope him being a top 5 guy in this league, I think you're wasting your time. It ain't going to happen. But he doesn't need to be. That's the thing. He doesn't need to be. He just needs to be the guy he was before he got hurt. And I don't care where he ranks among all the NFL quarterbacks. If he's 12, 16, 17, who cares? If he's that guy, we're good. And hopefully he gets back to being that guy. The other side of the coin in my thought process is, if he comes back this year and he's not that guy and he still struggles and he's the guy who throws, you know, 25 touchdowns and say 17 or 18 interceptions and, you know, he's just not that guy, there does come a point where you have to move on. And I think 2012 to 2018, he had a shot. And I know he got hurt once, but this is, you know, it's a tough league, and a lot of players get hurt. And it's not really an excuse for a job for life. So this, to me, is the make-or-break year for him. Hopefully he's that guy we saw at the end of 2016 before he got hurt. But if he's not, there does come a point where you say, you know what, it's just we have to move in a different direction. So 2018, for me, when it comes to Ryan, Tannehill is the year. No excuses. I don't want to hear, well, he needs a few games back. No. Week 1 against the Titans where it starts, no excuses. He has to be the guy. And, look, I'm very hopeful that he will be. I think he will be. I'm rooting for him hard that he will be. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
So now, if Tannehill doesn't show that he's the guy this year and the team ends up moving on, how many years are you giving Gase? How many years are you giving Gase to get his quarterback and figure out what he wants to do with the team?
Well, here's the deal. If he's not the guy, you're not going to get anyone in free agency probably because the guys out there year after year, we know the names like Sam Bradford.
It's going to be
those aren't the answer. So you got to go towards a draft, which means now it depends on where you're picking. If you're picking in the top 5, you know, you're sitting okay because you might not have to move up, which means you can sit where you are and take someone, which is fine. But say you're picking 12 or 14 or, you know, somewhere in the middle, like we were last year, even at pick number 11, you know, to move up to the top 5 to get the guy you want, you know, you got to give up a lot of picks, which is why last year I'm sitting there at pick number 11. Look, I love Minkah Fitzpatrick, I do. But to give up a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick to move up one spot and take Rosen, you know, that's cheap. Mm. You know what I mean? That's cheap, and that's a little bit of insurance in your back pocket too. So next year, if we're picking, say, in the same spot and we have to go up in the top 5 and you're parting with your 2019 first, your 2020 first, your 2020 second, and your 2023 picking around, you know, 4, you know, they have to do it, one, because you have to get a guy. And it's going to cost a lot. It's going to be painful. So if he's not the guy, you got to do it in the draft, and you almost have to give up what you have to give up. For Gase, not saying that the rookie has to play year one, obviously, and start from day one. He doesn't. You can get a one-year stopgap like a Sam Bradford or whoever, someone in that vein. But the rookie, he better be, let's just say, showing something in practice. He better be showing something. He better be showing improvement all year in practice. And if the year's lost, which, let's be honest, if we're starting someone in that vein, it's probably will be lost come, like, November. You better play the rookie late, and he better show a little something. He doesn't have to be great, but show, like, he's someone who there's some promise in. Because if he's not, I mean, that's a tough call on Gase. I don't know what you do. Because I'm the type who doesn't want to just fire the head coach but keep the – GM and the VP in place. It's either all or nothing with me because they're a package deal. So you either clean house and get rid of them all or they all stay. So that's a tough call. At most, he'd get 2 years. But after 1 year, if it's not looking good with the quarterback, I wouldn't have a problem pulling the plug because starting over with a whole new quarterback in this league, it's a process. It's painful, which is why I'm really rooting for it to work out with Ryan Tannehill. And even if it does work out, at a certain point, you got to take a young guy early, round one or two, because you got
to
be ready in this league.
Set up the future.
You got to be ready. I mean, you do.
We don't think about it, but Tannehill's getting up there. He's getting kind of old. He's got maybe half a decade left to be in his prime, and that's it. And then he's declining very quickly. So,
and he's also returning from a knee injury as well, which I think he'll be good, but once again, I don't know. So it's like, and we hope, but that's just hope. We don't know. We hope he'll be the same guy. We hope he'll be the same player until we see it on the field. And I'm not going to count what I saw in the OTAs, and what's going to happen over the course of the next few weeks means pretty much next to nothing, because they're not going to have him get hit here in training camp. Preseason, I wouldn't even play him that much in the preseason, because why risk anything? Like, the first game, I wouldn't play him at all. Second game, I wouldn't play him at all. Third game, you want to play him. The final game, I wouldn't play. I mean, what's the point? Why risk anything? We saw what happened last year. What if he goes down, it was bad. This year, it might actually be worse, because you're not going to go out and sign someone like Jay Cutler.
We're going in with Bryce Petty or David Fails.
David Fails or Brock Osweiler. That's worse than Matt Moore. And I hated Matt Moore, but that's worse than Matt Moore. So it's going to be ugly. So I wouldn't risk nothing with him. I don't see the reason to. The games are meaningless. I know fans get caught up. Well, they got to gel and they got to practice. Gel and practice in practice. You don't have to do it in preseason games.
Yep.
You got somebody on the other side of the line who doesn't care, who flat out, they have to win a spot. They have to win a job. They want to start for their team. Mm-hmm. They're coming for him, and they don't care. So it's like, why risk it? And our offensive line is good, but we also got some new pieces this year. And in the month of August, you want to risk him behind a new offensive line who might not be on the same page yet, who's still working things out. Yeah, Sitton wasn't here last year. Our center wasn't here last year. Jesse, he was moving all over the line last year, Jesse Davis. So now he's sort of set in a role, but he was moving last year. He's not probably set in his role. I wouldn't risk it. I don't see the reason to risk it. I know I'll probably be wrong, and he'll probably play all the preseason games except for the last one, which I think is just dumb. But we'll see. I wouldn't risk it, though. There's no reason to. The games don't count for a reason. So, I mean,
if anyone thinks preseason matters, they can go back and look at the Dolphins' last preseason, where Jay Cutler looked like the second coming of Dan Marino.
Yep.
And all the news outlets were saying he was going to carry us to the playoffs again.
Oh, he knows the offense. He's going to be fine.
It doesn't mean anything.
Means nothing.
Vanilla defense, there's no schemes at all. It's just get your base plays down, do the little stuff right, and that's it. You can do that in practice. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the knee blowout. Don't risk anything.
Yep. Here's how little it means. I think 2 years ago this was. Miami and training camp did a joint practice with the Carolina Panthers. And in there, they did like two or three of them together. Then they played a preseason game on a Saturday. So in those 2 or 3 days of the joint things, the Panthers had to tell the Miami Dolphins head coaches to call off the dogs. They couldn't block Sue and Wake. They weren't getting nothing accomplished in these practices. You guys are just beating us up. Call off the dogs. This ain't working. Mm-hmm. Then they played a preseason game. I think Miami won, and they looked fantastic. The Panthers looked lost. What happened that year? The Carolina Panthers went 15-1 into the Super Bowl.
Went to the Super Bowl. We went 6-10.
It might have been actually 3 years ago, now that I think about it. And Miami did nothing. He had no pass rush that year. Wake, you know, he was good. Sue was, you know, fine. But nobody else in that line really did anything. It was just, so that's how little the preseason means. It means nothing. And I hope they don't risk them. I hope they don't have any rookies run down a punt in the preseason. No important rookies like Raekwon McMillan. Yep. No, look, Raekwon's too important to this unit. We saw that last year. If he's running down a punt in a preseason game, I'm sorry, our staff is idiots and they don't get it. Now, come week one against the Tennessee Titans, you want him to run down a punt? That's fine. Those games
sure.
are out. That matters. Go for it. He doesn't need to do it in a preseason game, though. And I know guys can get hurt anywhere at any time. Guys just sometimes are running down the field by themselves, plant their foot, knee gets blown out. It happens. But it's about minimizing the risk and being smart about things. And hopefully that's what they do this year. I'm not sure it will happen, but hopefully that's what they do. Let's talk about the head coach for a second, Adam Gase. What are your thoughts on him as he's entering year three? It's a big year for Gase as well. Year one, obviously, everything he touched turned to gold. Last year, a lot of bad luck, which I wouldn't even pin on him. Just things that whatever could go wrong, whether it was like a hurricane or his offensive line coach gets caught doing something and his quarterback goes down, everything that could go wrong went wrong. So he gets a little bit of a pass for last year, but what are your thoughts on him as a head coach as he enters year three?
I think Gase really came in, and by the end of year one, he was doing what he wanted to do with the team. And then during year two, it just all fell apart because of a myriad of different things. There were like 10 different congruent events that you could tell me happened and I wouldn't believe you about the 2017 season.
And they all happened
like
to one team.
A hurricane wipes out our bye week. The offensive line coach is caught snorting coke before meeting. Like, you could just keep listing things and I wouldn't believe
linebacker
you. I'm not going to fault Gase.
Yeah, our linebacker quits.
Yeah, the linebacker just runs away.
Runs away.
Second round rookie tears his ACL doing special teams in the first playoff game of the year, or first preseason game, excuse me. Like, it's just bad, like, bad thing after bad thing that Gase can control. But this season, I'm expecting probably a slow start as we get back into it because Tannehill hasn't played for a couple seasons. I'll give the first four-game leeway before I make judgment. I normally like to wait a little bit before, like, making hard judgment. And I've been a fan of Gase so far. Initially, I wanted Hugh Jackson over him, which shows why I'm a fan and not working professionally. But he's really turned me around. I'm a big believer. I think he brings a lot of fresh new styles, and the scheme that he brings to Miami is very reminiscent of what the Patriots have going, and honestly what the Chargers are running with right now too, that's very successful. So I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic, I'll say right now, about Gase's future with the team. I think he'll be a great coach no matter where he goes because he's so damn young. Like, he can be in the league for another four decades. But it's just about whether or not I think the Dolphins give him enough time and he wants to be in Miami. So we'll see how it ends up working out.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic on him too. And he made a lot of changes this offseason. He has now his staff in place. He cleaned out half of the staff and he got rid of a lot of guys. Yep. So he can't lean back on the, well, some of these guys I inherited or here before I got. Okay, you got rid of the guys you didn't want and you brought in all your friends and buddies, which is fine because on paper, a lot of those guys are very good coaches. The offensive line coach we got is very good. The defensive line coach we got from the Lions there is very good. The running back coach we got is excellent. I mean, he's top shelf running back coach in this league. So he has his team in place. That's no longer an excuse. Obviously, the quarterback has to be healthy. If not, then I don't care who your head coach is. It's almost impossible to win. But Gase, I'm very optimistic for as well. He has his guys on the staff. He got rid of on the roster. I've been told off the record he had a larger say than in the past on who's here and who's not here. So, and I was told that by someone who I respect and trust. So I'm not saying he ran off every player and stuff like that, but if there was guys on the fence, you know, if he wanted them here, he made sure they were re-signed. And if he didn't want certain guys here, he made sure they're no longer here. And I'm not talking about like Sue and Landry, because that was just more financial. I'm just talking about other guys on the roster. So he has his team, he has his roster, he has his staff, and hopefully he's got his quarterback healthy. And, you know, everything's there for him to succeed, and we'll see how it goes. The first part of the schedule this upcoming year is not actually that bad. It's really not. I mean, look, every game is tough to win in the NFL. We know that. On paper, though, it's not awful. The second half of the schedule is a little bit of a challenge because you got teams like Minnesota, Jacksonville, New England again. That's more of a challenge. But the first half of the year isn't awful. If they can get off to a quick start, you know, they could win 9 games, 10 games and sneak in as a wild card. I totally see that as something realistic. If they start off slow, though, it's going to be tough because, like I said, the second half of the year, that schedule gets brutal. You got the Packers, you got the Jaguars, you got the Vikings, you got the Patriots at the end of the year. So you want to sort of lead into that part with a good, you know, 6 wins if you can. We'll see how it goes. I'm hopeful, optimistic, but like you, being a fan of this team for as long as we have, we sort of expect
you,
the worst
you know,
of times.
Optimism is hard to come by.
Optimism only goes so much, so high. Then you're like waiting for the other shoe to fall, waiting for the kick to the you-know-where to come, because we've seen it so many times. So as we close this out, what are your thoughts as we head into 2018? Where do you think they might finish? And just a way too early prediction, I guess. I guess we'll call it.
Well, I'm excited. I think it'll be one of the most fun, entertaining seasons in recent memory, just because of the roster we've built. It's probably my favorite all-around roster the team has had since, I don't even know when, maybe
a while.
Early Ryan Tannehill days, like 2012, 2013. But even then, we didn't have the like offensive talent we have now, along with the defense. So as I'm looking over the schedule right now, I'm going, I think when we did our predictions earlier in the year, I went with 9-7. And you want to talk about early predictions? We got one in like 3 months ago, right after the draft. I'm gonna stick with 9-7 right now. I'm thinking we start off a little bit shaky. We kind of blow a couple games in the early part that we should win. And then we make up for it late because Ryan Tannehill and Gase get warmed up together and they continue the hot streak they had in 2016 where they like hit their stride and then just didn't stop.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting us to go 9-7 into the playoffs with momentum, kind of what the Chargers could have done last year if they had gotten lucky and made the playoffs.
Yep, absolutely. I think the one thing Miami has on their side this year is I think the Jets and the Buffalo Bills – if they play the young guys at quarterback, they're going to struggle because each one of those teams have no offensive weapons at all. And it looks like the one offensive weapon on each roster would be LeSean McCoy, who might not be playing for some other reasons. And if that's the case, those teams might struggle, which means Miami might be able to get 3 wins or 4 wins against those two teams. I think worst case, they have to get 3 against them. If they lose one to
Buffalo
Jets, fine. Yeah,
they lost half their starting offensive line.
They lost half their starting offensive line. You can't name a wide receiver on their roster, really. Who's any good, at least?
Sammy Watkins still there?
No, he's gone.
Woods, I don't know.
Woods is gone too. They got the guy from the Panthers who's never healthy. Kelvin.
Okay.
Yeah, he's there, but he's like a tight end. So bad now. And they got like that one rookie from last year, Zay Jones, who's like okay, I guess he's not. You know, he's fine. But they don't have much there.
That's all.
Yeah. And then you got the Jets. I really can't name one wide receiver on their roster, honestly. I just can't.
Have Robbie Anderson. He got arrested. Yeah, that's how I know.
Yeah. How he's not suspended yet either, I have no idea. But he will be soon. So that's a wait-and-see thing because he's always in trouble, that guy. But, yeah, there's not much there around those young guys. So I don't expect much from either one of those teams. Now I think long-term they might each be really, really – good, because I think they took certain guys in this last draft who might be really good at quarterback, but I'm just saying year one, they might not be. So if that's the case, Miami can sneak out 3 wins against those two teams, or in a perfect world, 4, sweep them both. If they're already at 4, if they're already at 4 wins, I don't see a lot with the Bears. I think they're a pretty bad team. You know, you're at 5. Then you got the Raiders at home at 1 o'clock in September. That's a long flight, that whole deal, you know, coming from the West Coast playing at 1. Maybe you get one there, you're at 6. And if you're sitting at 6, when you got teams like Cincinnati on your schedule, you know, finding a way to 9 or 10, it's not crazy. And you can find a way to 9 or 10. The Titans are at home. I was at that game last year. They didn't have their starting quarterback. We didn't have ours, so that's a wash in my book, and we still won. Maybe we can sneak out a win week 1 there at home against the Titans. It's not crazy to think they can't get to 9 wins or 10 wins. Just based off the schedule, based off who they're playing. And look, anything's possible. We see it in this league all the time. Anything is possible. Teams come from nowhere, make the playoffs. Teams come from nowhere and win their division. I'm not saying that's going to happen because we still got the Patriots, unfortunately. But I think finding a way to 9 wins or 10 wins isn't crazy this year for the Dolphins.
I mean, we have the late bye week, which is a huge bonus.
Yep.
And even though the late game schedule is tough, we can be set up to make a run to the playoffs with the schedule, because we've got, coming out of the bye, a tough Green Bay game going in, and then coming out immediately into Indianapolis, You don't know how healthy Andrew Luck's going to be. That's a huge question mark.
Even if he's healthy, their team stinks. Even if he's healthy. Exactly. I forgot about them.
It's one of the worst rosters, if not the worst, in the league. So, yep. And then following that, you'll be facing Josh Allen, hopefully. And then a tough New England game, a tough Minnesota game.
At home, we got New England late, which is good because usually with them, usually we split. Yeah, usually we split with them, so that's not bad. Yeah, it's not a crazy thought to think if the Jets stink, which I think they will, if the Buffalo Bills stink, just because they're playing young guys. Even if they don't play the young guys, Josh McCown, you know, he ain't getting any younger. And then for the Bills, it's A.J. McCarron, who's like, whatever. I mean, he's nothing special. You know, those are the key games in my book, because if you can win, you know, at least three of those four games against those two teams, there's a shot. I'm saying there's a shot, but we'll see how it goes. Noah, thanks so much for joining me today on our podcast. Everyone, be sure to check him out on the Fins Up, Fans Down podcast, which you can listen to right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Any closing thoughts, anything else you want to plug? Where can people find you on social media, Noah?
You can follow the podcast at FinsFansPod on Twitter. That's PHPH. And I just post Dolphins content mainly there. Chat with anyone who wants to chat. Talk about football. Post a lot of video threads. And, yeah, that's about it.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me on. It was a
ton of fun. Absolutely. We will have you on again for sure. And thanks for joining us.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Once again, I would like to thank Noah from the Fins Up, Fans Down podcast, which you can listen to right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Now, look, like I said, training camp is back. It's here. It's upon us. So starting next week, we'll be going back to being a full-time podcast, 5-6 days a week, most weeks. We'll have a show every day, so be on the lookout for that. As always, if you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. If you're going to follow me on Twitter, it's at DolphinsTalk. If you're going to follow me on Instagram, it's at DolphinsTalk. And also be sure to follow our Facebook page. Now, I know some of you aren't on Instagram. Some of you aren't on Twitter. I know everyone's on Facebook. So go to our Facebook page, DolphinsTalk.com. Search us on Facebook and like us there. Follow us there because in the coming weeks and such, we're going to be having contests and giveaways. And the only way you're going to know about it and the only way you're going to be able to win is if you are visit our Facebook page, because that's the only place those things will be given away. And it won't be on the main page of the site. It will just be on our Facebook page. So be sure you're following us there. As always, no matter where you listen to this podcast, whether iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, wherever, be sure to subscribe to it. Leave us a rating. Leave us a comment. It always helps. And also be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a bunch of new content going up. Like I said, we're going to add some new staff members. I'm on the verge of adding some new staff members as well to our site. So check that out as well. Everyone, have a great day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.